keep the frequency clear.
But guess what? You don't get to tell me when I can stop speaking. Well,
tune in to Queering the Air.
Report on trans and intersex issues with accuracy, dignity, and respect.
Yes, ma'am.
Change the narrative rather than combat the narrative.
Yes, queen!
I know who I am. Took me 20 years to get here. I'm not gonna let some idiot senator destroy that.
3CR Community Radio.
Our stories are best told when we are the ones telling them. It helps combat the perpetuation of stereotypes, misinformation, and lies.
The TGDNB culture is valid, critical, vital, and vibrant.
I discovered in the face of overwhelming prejudice and persecution an incredible strength through being fiercely fabulous.
Welcome to Queering the Air, Sundays from 3 to 4 on 3CR. 3CR is proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
I can feel a ranting coming on. I can feel a ranting coming on. Got the taste for it. Just can't wait for it. I can feel a... Not the 4X. I can feel a ranting coming on.
Madison rants.
On Queering the Air.
Ooh, Madison's having rant.
On Queering the Air.
Madison rants.
On Queering the Air.
Rant, rant, rant.
On Queering the Air.
Madison rants.
On Queering the Air.
Rant, rant, rant.
Yes, I'm having a rant. Okay, so you know who you are, mate. I got the Instagram message. All right, there's a certain group of people who think that it's a good idea, in response to them having quite rightly received backlash late last year for platforming somebody who had the nerve to suggest that the LGBTIQA plus community should consider certain trans-related emancipation topics to be hills not to die on, seems to have... Well, this is my take on it. Seems to have, you know, gotten themselves a little het up about, you know, the quite valid backlash that's been received, and has decided, it seems to me, to have responded to that by suggesting that the next step is to have a project that focuses on increasing the civility of discourse within the LGBTIQA plus community. Increase the civility of discourse. Increase the civility of discourse. Where have I heard that before?
But that's a different thing than what the transgender rights movement is saying. What they are saying is that society should cram down on people, that we should treat it as bigotry. This is a form of bigotry and hate, which is nonsense. It's just something you don't like. There are lots of things I don't like. It doesn't mean it's a form of bigotry and hate. And that's where I stand on this. So again, I think that we should try to treat people with as much civility as possible.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. It was the alt-right poster boy Ben Shapiro who a couple of years ago decided that trans people were being a bit uppity, were being lacking in civility because they had the gall to be angry at people that would suggest that their emancipation is, I don't know, something that people shouldn't, a hill that people shouldn't die on. Yes, this has been...
Madison rants
on Queering the Air.
Ooh, Madison's having rant.
On Queering the Air.
Madison rant.
On Queering the Air.
Rant, rant, rant.
On Queering the Air.
Madison rant.
On Queering the Air.
Rant, rant, rant.
Mick. Civility. You can shove it right up your ass, mate. Queer band egoism that don't quite know how to finish a song properly. Just all this trailing noise. I mean, anyway, that's enough of the rant from the Gen Xer. Mind you, some of these grunge bands didn't quite know how to do it either. But in my defence, I complained about them also. All right. All righty then. Now, we have some guests today. And yes, they witnessed my little rant. Yes, we might even get them to comment, and they might not want to touch it. It might have been just a little too hot. Just a little too hot, a little too sizzling. But that will be their choice. So, I will now introduce said guests, and they are... Pronouns and name, please, in that order, because it's weird and I prefer it.
Should I go first?
Yes.
My pronouns are she, they, and my name is Ivy.
Ivy.
Hello, my pronouns are also she, they, and my name is Max.
All right, well, I get you to repeat that.
My pronouns are she, they, yes. And my name is Max.
There we are. That's called getting the levels right, folks. Yes.
Big love.
Always happy to help.
There's nothing like professional radio craft. And, yep. This is nothing like professional radio craft.
I wouldn't know.
No, me either.
Well, you know, I rely on that. And I rely on my listeners knowing even less.
Okay. I do want to say, though, I went to high school with Egoism. They're really...
Yeah.
They're really lovely. Yeah. They're really great band. I think I was in a music video for them when I was like 16 or something.
Oh, wow. No, that's great.
Yeah.
You should point that out to me.
like pointing at you right now.
Afterwards, you know. That
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll show you the video.
I want to see it.
I'm not sure where it is. Somewhere online.
So, now you pair have a show on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, a bit of a show.
Bit of a theatre show.
Just a little one. Just
show,
for fun.
Show.
Yeah.
Show.
Yeah.
Show. Showing out. Bit of Mel
Boom,
and Kim.
Clap. Boom and clap.
That's the only... I have to stop there because we can't afford the rest.
Oh, damn. We try.
What is your show?
Ivy?
It's called The Devil in Her Undies. It's
very rude.
It can be. Yeah.
How you feel about
sounds very rude.
I guess so. Mm. Although it's not about periods, it's not about menopause at all. In fact, I've had that a few times recently.
People think it's about menopause.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure why.
Given that
Ivy and I are both in our 20s and we're the creative team, so I'm not really sure why we'd be making a show about menopause. But, you know, one day maybe we will.
Yeah. Maybe the title's relatable.
Maybe.
Or maybe next week to rub it in.
Yeah.
We don't have menopause.
Exactly.
We'll get there.
The devil's
one day.
The devil's in your undies, not mine. But that's not what this one's about.
No.
So what is the devil?
The devil, I guess.
The devil is the main character.
Yeah.
The devil in her undies is about the devil.
Yes.
And she is in her 20s. She's trying to just live.
Yeah.
And that is sometimes a little tricky in the digital landscape that we live in. And
so the devil's... The her in devil is the devil.
Is the devil.
Yeah.
It's not the devil being in someone else's undies.
No. She's in her own undies.
She's sitting in her own undies.
Well, that's a disappointment.
Yeah.
I know. That's the next show, don't worry.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. The after hours show.
Yeah. After dark, yes.
Yeah. I guess it's about, that psychological toll of never feeling certain as a young femme person or a queer person, and the kind of digital and online scrutiny that happens all the time.
Expectations about what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to be by now or by then or later, or how you're supposed to change and when and why.
If at all. If at all.
And there is another character in the show.
Karen
with the boobs. So that is the devil's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Hate her already.
So, fair enough.
I hear she has boobs.
Yeah, she's a flaming hot chicken in the either boiling sense or in the sexy sense.
Yeah, it's kind of up to you. Up for interpretation.
Yeah, because I read it and it's like, what? Flaming hot chicken in their texts. What? It sounds fun.
Yeah.
We do have fun. We have a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're a bit silly. We take silliness very seriously.
Yes. Oh, yes, you don't fit in here.
No, of course not.
No, very serious.
I'll have to pull it together. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know, it sounds like you are very much in the vein of what I try to do. Who knows whether I succeed, to address, you know, serious topics, but with some mirth, because otherwise you've got to rise above the turgidness of the subject matter, I think.
Yeah. I find it like so much easier, like personally, to connect to, as well as I find it a lot easier to like start conversations with other people when we make work that is so entirely silly, but might be, you know, touching on or creeping towards something a lot more serious. And it just, it can really like open up those conversations a lot easier if there's something to laugh about together at the same time.
So comedy is the sugar that comes with the medicine.
Exactly. Yes.
Here comes the choo-choo.
And we are
Here
the sugar the factory.
Yeah, exactly.
Choo-choo.
And so what does said a person with the boobs do? What's their deal?
Well, Karen with the boobs is... I love her.
I love Karen.
I really love Karen, but I think she takes a while to understand. You know, she's we kind of talk a lot about like your friendships in your life and like as a queer person, like all the different really beautiful friendships that you get to have.
Yeah.
And what they can give you.
There's a table there, Maxine.
Oh, sorry.
Don't bash your body against it.
I'm just getting so passionate.
It's coming across.
But yeah, so Karen is kind of that friend for the devil who maybe sometimes gives not so good advice, but sometimes gives the best advice. And regardless, she's there, you know, and that is a really beautiful thing. And so, yes, she's not perfect, but I love her.
Yeah.
Aww. She's cool.
Yeah.
I guess she's also a flaming hot chicken.
Yes. Yeah. I think as well, Karen represents that female friendship that can be so strong and supportive when you're going through maybe tough times. So she is, really a force of goodwill, I would say.
Okay, so it sounds like the devil gets a fair hearing here. Is that right? Is it sympathetic? Is there, in the words of Rolling Stone, sympathy for the devil?
There just might be.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the devil, like all of us, she's complex.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot going on underneath the surface, I think. And Karen is quite happy to hear her out because she's, you know, probably got her own issues, I suppose. So who is she to judge?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's, interesting. And it's an analogy also for being queer, I take it, in some respects.
Yeah,
the I would wickedness, say so. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess as well, like if you go back to Christianity or something like that.
Yes,
the
well,
devil.
It's not, but anyway.
Yeah, the devil, I guess, is bad or not good and is often equated with queer people, I would say, people having the devil inside of them or something like that.
Yes, so, need to be exorcised. Yes.
Yeah, you got to be exorcised to be a good person or something, you know, back in the day. That really kind of looks at that thematically, but I wouldn't say it's a main theme. It's kind of like an underlying topic there.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like the characters are inherently queer because we are, you know, and so what we write is always going to be inherently queer, and so that, you know, affects everything that they do and the people that they are and their history. And so I guess, I mean, it's not queer romance is like not a theme, but I think definitely like a queer life. It is, you know, that's what we know. So it's, that's who these people are.
Yeah, exactly.
Writing what you know.
Always a good idea.
Always a good idea.
Some lived experience in there, I think. Yeah,
doing work in one form or another in public that you have some knowledge about, as opposed to other people I might have discussed in this show.
Interesting.
Yes.
Always good to have a little bit of knowledge on board.
And a little bit of, let's just say, intellectual humility.
Would you say perhaps some intellectual civility?
Oh. No.
No, me neither. I wouldn't either. Yeah. No.
Let's not go there.
Absolutely not.
You're currently listening to Queering the Air, the show where civility comes to die because because we kill it.
Get
it. And yes,
the devil gets it.
We will hear more from our wonderful guests and around queerness, around civility, around theatrical goings on, as one of my favorite colleagues here at 3CR would say, the shenanigans surrounding theatrical work.
Many.
Very soon. But in the meantime, I thought that I would play a song, and this one's called Drip, Drip, Slay.
Ooh.
So that's Miss Orange Juicy, and quite appropriately, therefore, the title of the song is Drip, Drip, Slay. And they are a queer group from Adelaide. And how did I come across them? Well, I might as well mention this. Who knows? Maybe someone will want to make the trip to Adelaide for this. Adelaide's iconic queer institution, Queer Club, on June the 27th is going to be having a celebration at Unibar ADL. I'm not sure what ADL is, but anyway, Unibar ADL, celebrating that their fifth year. So that's pretty good. And I'm going to read their little blurb. Celebrating 5 years of unapologetic queer joy, community and cutting-edge music. There we are.
Awesome. I loved that. That was gorgeous. I just added it to my phone. I like that song a lot.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, you know. And now it's extra cool because I played it. It's got the Madison endorsement of coolness.
Stamp of approval.
Beautiful. Yes, because that's what the young kids want. They want to hear songs that have been recently discovered by a 55-year-old trans woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
they
do.
I'm here for it. Yeah.
I'm hip with the kids. I'm a hip bop, bibbidi bop, 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 bidi boo. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, this week I listened to the views of a certain Ebony Hickey. Ebony Hickey is a wonderful Haitian-born, Australian-adopted, and that's very much part of their story and also their arc as an artist, who's based here now in Nam. And they have an exhibition currently at the Victorian Pride Centre. So I'm going to get them to speak to that because, you know, as per the Queer in the Air ethos, we allow queer people to introduce themselves and their work. Mm. Who am I, after all? A one, a two, a three, and a four. Get the mouse pointer at the button and press.
You're with 3CR, Madison Moffat for Queer in the Air. I'm here with Jocasta, who's actually a friend of the show. You have been, I believe you were on Trans Creator Radio.
A while back, yeah.
And make sure you press the right button.
You're with Madison Moffat on Queering the Air, and I'm with Ebony.
Hello, my name is Ebony Hickey. I am a contemporary artist here in Melbourne, and I am also a Haitian-born Australian adoptee.
Yes, and adoption plays a huge part in the work that you do.
Absolutely, definitely. Adoption, Black identity, being an adoptee is definitely bringing that to the forefront and definitely portraying that in spaces that usually don't have a theme of adoption.
Yeah, and congratulations. I'll let you again announce in full why I'm congratulating you, but congratulations are completely in order because
I have an exhibition at the Pride Centre and it is called The Right Black to Adopt. That is now showing and it comes down the 7th of June. So I'm very proud to have my work in the amazing Pride Centre.
As you may well be. Absolutely wonderful. It seems to me almost inevitable, given your living experience, that colonialization would form a part of it too.
Definitely 100%. And I guess also I am of African heritage and also born in Haiti and have been brought up in a biracial family. So these things were also run parallel throughout my existence.
How do you find yourself translating lived experience to art?
Because I'm a multi-practicing artist, I think it's kind of like a perfect way to experience and also have that translation. And I do it through visual artwork. I also do it through spoken word and I also do it through performance. My most favorite way to do that is all of them together on stage, but definitely being able to break them down. I have pieces right now in the St Kilda Pride.
Yeah, the Pride Centre in St Kilda.
St Kilda. And I think it's also a very cathartic way to bring ideas that I'm working through and have a following of other adoptees that also come along to these openings that I have. I get very good feedback about allowing them to see the things that I go through and them knowing there's other people out there that are going through the same thing and also doing that in a public forum.
Yeah, so from my perspective, I've been involved in the foster care system, but not adopted. So to a certain extent, these themes are analogous, not the same, but analogous to some of my personal experiences. I think about the number of kids who actually do go through the foster family process, right? Mm. But my first cultural response to the idea is that it's rare, but it's not rare, and neither is adoption. And it strikes me that perhaps adoption appears rare because it's so little spoken about.
Very much so. I guess it's not a thing spoken about unless you're in a circle that someone is adopted in or someone has known someone else is adopted in. It's not a very spoken about experience. And I don't know if that comes also from shame. Within adoption, a lot of money is also involved. That is something that I've also brought up in The Right Black to Adopt. It's also not spoken about how much it costs to actually secure an adoption or secure a child. And obviously that isn't spoken about either.
The business side of it.
The business side of adoption. Intercountry adoption is a billion-dollar industry.
Yes, indeed. And let's make sure we talk about that. Let's bookmark that. It seems to me that, therefore, your art is a way of connecting internally and externally.
100%. I think that my art is also a way that brings me closer to my DNA. I have never obviously met anybody or seen anybody with the same DNA running through me, running through them. Yes. But the art is a way for me to connect with that in a very cathartic way, and also trying to make sense of the adoption and also the questions, with some questions that can't be answered. But I guess me being able to do my artwork is a way of also honouring my DNA and becoming closer to that.
You were very young when you were adopted?
Yes, I was 10 days old.
So the thing is, I know that psychoanalytically from my own experience, in my case, there's probable causes of trauma that I will never be able to really tap into because they took place at a time where my personality wasn't sufficiently formed for me to then be able to use that rationality to tap into. Is that part of what you find? Is there sort of like a spectre-like aspect to this? Aspects you can't touch into because of how young you were?
Yes and no. I guess there's the, which goes down with mental health, and it goes down with abandonment issues and different issues that will be brought up. And also the big thing is loss, about mourning of a family and also a culture that you never were able to have any access to. And unfortunately, it's up to the person who is adopted to go through that process and heal their own selves. Yes. And the way that they do it sometimes doesn't work the same with another person. There is always a wait until we can be able to articulate what that is and being able to soothe that and understand that and the traumas that it has created in ourselves and to be able to build on that.
Yes. Now, I promised we'd only bookmark it. The link between adoption and capitalism. So you know that we're a radical radio station here. So I hear that and my mind zooms right in. Yeah. So, but please, you know, only share what you feel comfortable with. This is also a safe space, I hope.
Yeah.
There is that mercantile nature. And as you, I think you quite rightly termed it an industry. Adoption, it's a way for people to connect. It's a way for people to receive as a child support that they may not necessarily have. But that's not always the way. And also commerce can get in the way, I feel.
Yes. So definitely, I think that the adoption body is a commodification. So you can also look at it as a legal way to transfer one body to a different country and have legal access for that child to come in. And there has been different countries that it actually hasn't been these children have actually been abandoned at all. And other companies have come in and adopted them out when they actually did have families. So there's actually a few court cases happening for that at the moment. If you're looking at the best interest in that child, sometimes won't actually be able to take that child out of the country. It might be able to set something up in that country and keep that child within its culture and also connected to family ties. And then some of the trauma that comes with that isn't then taken on to a child who is taken out of the country. I was brought into Australia in 1984, and the things weren't up to date, how to be dealing with a child of African descent, and also knowing what things also came with that child with intercountry adoption. But also, intercountry adoption comes with a lot of money, and definitely a lot of money. You have to also show that financially able to support a child, let alone how much it costs to go through all the paperwork and bring that child into Australia. Also, children are brought over, usually into wealthy environments, where I would say someone like me in 1984, like I was the one that stood out. Being also the only person of colour or person of African descent in a private school, and how people relate to you, and then how you relate out to that, and not seeing anybody that looks like you. And then how you make sense of your own identity. Once again, identity and the black commodification is something that is addressed in the exhibition at the Pride Centre.
Yes.
But about how different layers and how that actually comes together and what is made up from that.
Yes, and looking at your artwork, it does seem there is an alignment with much that I've come across in speaking with those who migrated here as a small child. But it seems to me you are expressing that the adoption industry and its nature, and even perhaps inter-country adoption and its nature, amplifies a lot of those issues that are also faced by migrant children.
Yes, I guess migrant children usually will be coming with their families.
Yes.
And also be coming with a culture and coming with a community where adopted children are not coming with that.
Yes.
Where
Migrant families, on the other hand, they've got the children have that tethering to their parents, yes.
Absolutely. So I guess there's very much aloneness in finding who yourself is and centering with that. And yes. I guess understanding with that, if you're looking around and there's not people like you and you're trying to also connect with your community, and mm-hmm. if you're in a biracial family and that you might be the only person of a different race within that family, it can be quite hard.
I see.
Yeah, so it would have made a difference, like, I guess, being connected with a community. But there's a lot of kids that come over here into Australia that aren't connected with community, and they have earning to connect with community, but they're not connected. And their families might not also know how to connect them whatsoever. And they're brought up within that family and not connected to community, but are connected to a different community, but not the community that is their cultural community.
Yeah, so even though it might amplify some of the bigotry or intolerance or insensitivity towards difference that are faced by other children, such as migrant children, the dynamics that are at play if you're adopted are quite different.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Well, thanks for expanding on that. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Ebony. Good luck with your exhibition. What's next for you?
I'm also a drag king performer. So at the moment, I will start to go into rehearsal, and there's a show coming up at the Snuff Puppets. And then also to continue on with writing grants and continuing to make art.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Hey there. You're listening to Clearing the Air.
Coming to you live and direct on 855 AM. Or live streaming, man. That's cool. On 3cr.org.au/streaming. Or you can hear it on demand, man. That's just wild. Or not. It's all cool, man. It's all good.
Yes. Thank you, DJ T-Boy and the 3CR Chicken. Yes. So, there we go. Ebony Hickey. I'd have to say, a person who really expresses their pride, as a direct result, surely, of the contingencies that they faced in life. And it's just so much to say. I think it's a really important story. What did you feel?
Yeah, that was incredible.
Yeah, honestly. I'd really like to go see their exhibition and drag show.
Drag show, yes, please.
Yeah. But what a fascinating conversation.
Yeah, it's a really good conversation. I've seen the exhibition on at the Pride Centre in the Forum, and it is incredible. It's really beautiful. But just hearing about the process behind it and, connecting through art is, really amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I think that I also feel that one of the things that Vic Pride Centre has done fairly well is provide that gallery space, the foyer space, for a range of different types of art-driven queer messaging.
Mm.
Now, you play a small part in events coordination, do you not, Ivy?
I do.
At the Vic Pride Centre for your sins. Do you have anything that you'd offer in terms of, platforming artists via that space?
Yeah, well, it's an open access program for the Pride Gallery down in the Forum.
Yeah.
And so anyone really who has a work they want to exhibit that's from queer background can apply and get their work up there. Goes throughout the whole year. I think the current exhibition is having a launch party soon as well. So it's free entry.
I think the launch party happened this week.
Oh, it already happened?
Yes, well, this week. Yeah.
There's many a launch party happening for the Pride Gallery, which is exciting.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You party animals, you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, they are.
The rooftop. What can I say? It's stunning.
Stunning.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Mm.
Yeah, but it's really good program. We have an excellent curator. And it's so exciting to work there, to always see new work going up, new queer work going up, work that says something, work that advocates for something. It's really inspiring.
Yeah, lovely, lovely. Thanks for that expansion. Yes, bit of a plug. Plug, 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 plug.
Yeah, get down to the VPC.
Yes, yes. I'll tell you what, though. We won't get into the critical critique of the VPC. Mm. No, we won't, because I am polite. I'm a polite person.
It is Radical Radio.
It's Radical Radio. Anything could happen. Now, Jocasta is somebody who coordinates Headless Poetry, which at the moment is being held at the Red Betty every month. I think it's first Monday of the month. Check that. Don't take my word for it. So last week I featured two poets. They were poets and they did know it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bit of wordplay.
A bit of wordplay, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we do that here.
We have a professional in here.
That's real. Yeah. This is some of the nonsense I get up to in order to fill air time, yeah. So, but, you know, I thought that, you know, I did also interview Jocasta, and who, you know, he runs the stuff, or they run the stuff, she runs the stuff. Did I just misgender someone? Probably. Not the first time, unfortunately, I've done that on this show. Hey-ho. But anyway, Jocasta Suzanne, wonderful, wonderful person, has much to say on the topic of where they feel poetry fits within culture. And even though the word is not specified, I throughout couldn't help but think the word queering.
You're with 3CR, Madison Moffat for Queering the Air. I'm here with Jocasta, who is actually a friend of the show. You have been, I believe you were on Trans Creator Radio.
A while back, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'll get you to reintroduce yourself, name, pronouns, and your general purpose in the world.
My name is Jocasta Suzanne. My pronouns are she, her. I'm a transsexual woman. I am the convener, MC, facilitator, however you want to describe it, of Headless Poetry.
Lovely.
And I think my purpose in the world is to, in one form or another, connect people through the medium of poetry.
What do you see as the main mission of Headless Chicken? I mean, Headless Poetry.
Poetry is used in a certain way, a way that I sort of think of as ceremonial, its official purpose. We can think of poets reading poetry at inaugurations or openings, or we can think of Gina Reinhart writing a poem on a boulder that she has outside of her complex or whatever.
Yep.
The purpose of Headless Poetry is to dispute that. I think that poetry is ill-served by official events and official sort of status.
Yep.
And the purpose of Headless Poetry is to show that poetry is best served and in best functions when it is corrosive, where it refuses to legitimize and refuses to settle into set perimeters of language and set perimeters of symbology and set perimeters of meaning and value. I want it to be corrosive. I want it to sit uncomfortably. Not in the sense of saying uncomfortable truths and things like that, but I want it to be like food that goes off. I want people to take the food and remove it, essentially, as it is going off. I don't want people to sort of sit there and nod somberly and meaningfully. I want it to make people nauseous, essentially. And I think that that's what poetry does or can do very well.
Yeah. What sort of nausea is it? Are we talking about the sort of nausea that many 20th century writers would describe just the very essence of being, to a certain extent, nausea, if one actually does connect with the concrete?
I think to a certain extent, yeah. I think it's more the way that language can go off.
Yeah.
If we're thinking again in terms of food, language, especially poetry, is seen as spiritually nourishing.
Mm.
And that doesn't move me, or I find that sort of image kind of repulsive, to be honest. Or like you're eating your greens.
Yes.
Or that this is how, or poetry serves the role of connecting us to the values of a given society.
Yes.
When that society can't convey those ideals on its own.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes ritualistic, it becomes sort of hieratic almost.
At its very worst, perhaps, for the purposes of social capital.
Yes, no, exactly. And I think I want to present poetry somewhat spoiled, I guess, to the people here.
Yeah.
And that if they do eat it, they are going to be at least somewhat sick, or they have to be conscious of why they are making the decision either to eat it or not to eat it. They have to be conscious of linguistic usage, and they have to be conscious of how language signifies and what it signifies, and they have to take it back for themselves, make sense of it on their own terms. I want headless poetry to be something that encourages people to take that language back or metabolize that language back into their own lives.
Mm.
Because poetry is a part of people's life. People do poetry on a regular basis. People use it on a regular basis, even if it's just using the metaphors that have become cliche. Poetry is a function of democratic existence, and it's a function of how people reproduce themselves and go about their business. It is taken away from people, or it becomes reified into something that becomes alien and separate, in the same way that labor is reified and alienated from people. I want people to come away from headless poetry not thinking, that was a lovely poem, or that was an exciting poem, or an adventurous poem.
Mm.
I want people to be aware of the poetic capacity in their own language, and the language that they use and address to each other and to their loved ones and work colleagues. I want it to feel alive to people.
Mm.
In a way that is not encouraged, dissuaded in the course of everyday existence.
Yes.
Do want also people to have a good night out.
Like, yes.
I want people to come and drink and chat with each other and exist in social fraternity or sorority or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that happens.
Oh, yeah.
That is. It's certainly, it's a gathering.
I feel remiss. I should point out that a lot of the infrastructure of this event and a lot of the people that come here in the community sense that exists here is in part thanks to the work of Edith Mina Lyer, who was the previous convener of Headless. It used to be known as Health Based, and, you know, the incredible work that she did in putting this together and also creating momentum for it. I can't hope for anything more to continue the work that she did.
Yes, respect for previous work.
Mm.
Lovely.
And also the kind of trans community that she created, trans femme community specifically that she created around this event. Again, something that I find incredibly important and something that is not entirely present in the social milieu of Melbourne.
Yes, indeed.
She did something incredibly beautiful and I want to respect it. And I want, you know, other trans women to come here and, you know, to feel that as well.
Yes, well, you know, as a trans woman, I felt welcome. I felt like I was coming into an offshoot of the community that I was previously unaware of.
That's really cool.
But at the very same time, subsequently, it was familiar to me.
Mm, that's fantastic. I'm really happy.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
So, you know, fantastic trans woman leading a poetry night. But we can still be friends. and people may have heard previously, Jocasta joined me and Remy on Trans Creator Radio fairly recently, talking around poetry and noetry. Yes. So let's talk a little further now about devils and undergarments.
Yes, please.
And chickens.
And chickens, yes.
I believe that the 3CR chicken isn't the only chicken in the studio currently.
I think there might be another chicken in here somewhere. Yeah. And, like, it's getting kind of warm. I feel like there might be
a really sexy, flaming, hot chicken
in here.
Let's do it. Feel inferior now.
Yeah, well,
it's flaming.
I practice. We're on a fire.
Yeah, we are.
So there you go.
I've done a lot of research watching my mom's chickens.
I love how they just sometimes they just go for like, you know, 10 minutes.
It's yeah.
Like, you're just wonderful, wonderful animals.
Incredible creatures. They are very beautiful.
Yeah.
So, dates and times and places.
Yes. Do some plugging.
Yes, we've been having too much fun. So, Ivy and I are Big Dog Theatre, by the way. That is the name of our theatre company.
Big Dog Theatre.
Big Dog Theatre.
Roof, roof. That's actually how we came up with the name.
Is it?
Yeah, don't you remember? We were going around in a circle and we started...
we started woofing.
Woofing, and then we went Big Dog.
Big Dog. We were like, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's the name of our theatre company.
Big Dog.
So we are Big Dog Theatre, and The Devil in Her Undies is on at the Motley Bow House. Very soon, on Tuesday, is our first preview. So 19th and 20th are previews, and then we officially open on the 21st, Thursday night. And we run for
Thursday,
2 weeks.
Friday, Saturday.
They're all the same to me.
Making it up as they go along.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're there for 2 weeks. So come any day, pretty much except Mondays
and Sunday.
And we'll probably be there.
Yeah.
Until the 30th of May.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Till the 30th of May. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where was it?
The Motley Bow House in Carlton.
Oh, yes.
It's a fun little venue.
We've been there for 10 weeks doing a residency, which has just been amazing. Yeah. And we love the Motley.
So it's our creative development kind of residency outcome for our residency there.
It's been really wonderful.
Until the 30th of May.
Yeah. Correct. That's right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Now that's a nice little segue to a little ditty that we often do to introduce a certain segment. We've got just a little bit of time. Meow, 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 meow. I hate Trump. Yes, so very quickly, two love-related things. Love, life's sweetest reward. Thank you very much. So, Queen of Hearts speed dating, sapphic sessions at 86 to 88 Hopkin Street, Footscray.
Awesome.
Which is also known as Pride of Our Footscray. Yes, so it's on the 21st of May, on the year of our Lord 2026. Amen. From 6 p.m. through to 9 p.m. And I see two very eager chickens typing the details. Why is it hot in here?
Interesting.
Sapphic event, did someone say?
Did somebody say sapphic?
Excuse me, hello.
And last but certainly not least, 3rd of June 2026, 18:30, also known as 6:30, to 21:30, also known as 9:30, the Polyamorous Plus Social in Footscray. And that is not at the same venue, it's at the Littlefoot Bar. Another wonderful, queer-friendly place. Yes, so they're actually on the first Wednesday of every month. So that's, again, on the 3rd of June 2026, 6:30 till 9:30, Polyamorous Plus Social Footscray Edition. This has been meow, 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 meow.
And scene? Is that what happened?
And scene.
And scene.
And scene. We're very serious actors.
Very serious actors.
Yes. Too bloody serious.
Very serious improv actors.
My typical complaint is that, you know, people don't join in enough.
Yeah.
It was just like I had to jump out of my chair. I was like, oh my God.
This show actually has some audience participation. So.
Just a little bit. Don't be scared.
No, it's not scary.
Just a little teeny tiny bit.
Teeny tiny. I'm probably more scared than you will be.
Yeah. The actors are more scared of you than you are of them. Yeah. That's really important to remember.
Very important.
Like spiders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, because we haven't done new, we'll sign out with some CSAs, but, you know, we'll do a little goodbye session, you know, after this.
iPlus Pride Victoria is a not-for-profit organisation dedicated to equality and justice for multigender attracted people, including bi, pan, regardless of label, or no label at all. We organise community events and advocate for better policies and services. iPlus Pride runs discussion groups which offer a safe and fun space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your sexual identity, and provide peer support. iPlus Pride is especially keen to hear from multi-gender attracted people in regional and rural Victoria. Donations to iPlus Pride are tax deductible. For more information, visit our website at biplusprideVic.org.au, email info@biplusprideVic.org.au, or find us on Facebook or Instagram.
A 3CR supporter.
I'm bisexual.
Yes. And of course, doing that CSA, the little community service announcement, was the one, the only, the OG, Sally Goldner. And what a wonderful show they had this week, indeed only a couple of hours ago. And I'm talking about disability access in the regions, really, really important. There was also a little bit of talk, I believe, about Ida Hobbit on the
Today.
Yeah, yeah, it's which today. Is today. So yeah. Happy Ida Hobbit.
Happy Ida Hobbit.
Happy Ida Hobbit, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. Happy resistance against all the hate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, bit of a mixed message, but I think that we get there in the end. And but, you know, why not celebrate resistance, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you know, and also we had with the show that's before us, Freedom of Species, we had a little bit about Ida Hobbit as well.
Mm.
Yes. Okay, so I'm now going to say goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for having
so
us.
Much. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah. This has been Madison,
Ivy,
and Max.
Yes.
And get tickets to our show. Woo-hoo.
Stop plugging your show.
Never.
You're never coming on again.
No, we had so much fun.
And starts slowly. This is Lena Town by Monya. Another group that will be playing at that Adelaide Do, if you want to make the trip.
Sundial is pointing, stop pointing at me. I am lost, I have nowhere to be. If the time is where I am, where I am should be here, but I'm not anywhere near.
I'm gone, where is home now? Tangled, unbrushed hair, plastic chairs. Once you've been there, you're your head. Leaving, leaning, waiting, near here. Near here. Now you're starting, and I.